There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by KFC.
It's another great day in the city of Orlando, Florida, as we bring you NFL Live once again from the 70th annual Pro Bowl. Counting down the days now, the fans are here in full force as we look forward to Sunday's game featuring the AFC and the NFC. We say hello again, and coming up, we've got plenty to talk about. We'll have Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson join the set. Russell Wilson talks about the 49ers, what's next for his team, and why you can always add a few pieces to the puzzle. His head coach here for the first time as well. And Lamar Jackson on what his historic season was like, not to mention what big trust means to him. He even explains why we can borrow it in the short term. Eli Manning calling it a career after some tremendous accomplishments, all with the New York Giants. We will talk about what his decision means and have reaction from around the league. These guys certainly know. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about football, not to mention the countdown to Super Bowl 54 here from Disney's Wide World of Sports on what is a little dark skies here, but nothing. That's right. Nothing. Nothing to complain about. and plenty to see here. Diana Rossini joining us this afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix here with Rob Ninkovich and Victor Cruz. And of course, we will start with the news that came late yesterday, and that is Eli Manning's decision to retire. He calls it a career after 16 NFL seasons. The official announcement will come at a press conference tomorrow morning. Eli played his entire career with the Giants. He won two Super Bowls and led the franchise in every passing category. Here is now some reaction to his decision from around the league.
Eli's a great, fierce competitor, man. And to be able to play at a high level for 16 seasons, I mean, it's really tough. You know, it's really tough. He's a Super Bowl champion. I remember playing him my rookie year. He almost got me benched because he was lighting us up, you know, and taking advantage of my rookie youth.
He's very just consistent and steady throughout his whole career, and obviously I have a ton of respect for him.
Man, he's got so much to be proud of, and two Super Bowl championships, you know, with two clutch drives at the end of the game, you know, to win those. So he deserves, I think, a ton of credit, you know, for their success during that time, and also just a ton of respect from all of us for the career he was able to have.
I mean, he's got to be in the top 10 in most every meaningful statistic when it comes to quarterback play. So, you know, I got to play against him a lot in the NFC East and really observed him. When I came in as a rookie, he had just won a Super Bowl. And so I enjoyed, even when I was just a backup watching, just observing how he went about his business, because I said, okay, that's the goal. That's where you want to get to.
Yeah, you can't write the NFL story without Eli Manning.
Well said there, Eli Manning, one of only five players in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowl MVPs. He is seventh all-time in touchdown passes and passing yards and started 210 consecutive games from 2004 to 2017, the third longest streak for a quarterback in NFL history. He was always there. If the best ability is availability, he had plenty of that. And, Victor, I'll start with you, of course, as Eli's teammate and friend. What's the one thing you'll remember most about Eli Manning, the player?
Just being an Iron Man, just being accountable, just being there when you needed him the most, when you needed someone to make a play, when you needed someone to carry the weight of the team on his shoulders. He took it, and he never pointed a finger at anyone on the team, never pointed the blame at anybody else. He always made sure that win, lose, or draw, he's going to take the pressure and take the heat off the team and bring everybody better. And I think that made us respect him. It made us raise our level of play, and it just made us go out there with a certain passion and a certain discipline to go out there and play with this guy, because you knew that he was going to bring all he had each and every time he stepped out on that football field, and you knew the preparation was real. I remember times where Sunday after games, that Monday morning, he's already in the locker room. Mind you, that's our off day. That's not even the day that we're supposed to be there. He's there studying, getting ready for the next game, getting ready for the next opponent, and just tackling this thing head on. And I commend you, E, for just everything you've done for this league, for the Giants, and you know, I know you're only going to accomplish more things post post your career.
That's right. That was the first chapter. It's interesting perspective because we have teammate and we have opponent.
Yeah,
well, always a different way to look at things. What about you?
Vic has some hardware because of Eli and the things that he was able to do in that Super Bowl, playing against him a few times. I could just say this: he's a constant professional. Going back a couple years ago, even last year, having to go up and down with being a starter, then being benched, not being there. You never saw him complain or have any ill will towards his teammates. He was always trying to be the best teammate he could be. So that just represents his character, the type of teammate he is. He was always just trying to do the best for his team. And congrats, Eli, on a heck of a career.
No question. And let's not forget he did it in New York or for the New York Giants, which is not the easiest place to do it for that length of time with that kind of grace. And Diana, I know you had a chance to talk to a lot of players today and late yesterday about what Eli's legacy will be.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's probably one of the easiest questions I had to ask players about because the answers just came to everyone so quickly because everyone has so many good stories about Eli. And everyone loves to throw in there that he's so unassuming, he's unwavering. And it's sometimes, I think, looked at, and some of the players said this, as maybe perhaps a negative connotation because he's not flashy. He's got this ability to go out there and run an offense and not look physically scary when he does it, but the respect is there. I talked to Deshaun Watson for almost 15, 20 minutes about Eli Manning specifically, and he said, you know, I remember for me going to the Manning camps and getting the award, and, you know, he taught me so many different things about football, but he pulled me aside right before I got into the league and talked to me about highs and lows and how many I'm about to be part of. And in order for me to have success, I got to figure out a way to stay in between. He's like, I've thought of that. I've thought of that conversation in moments when things have gotten really bad for me. So Eli Manning obviously having a tremendous effect on young quarterbacks and old ones as we hear Drew Brees talk about him.
There's no question. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. I think that when you look at, obviously, the two Super Bowl MVPs, only one of five, he's one of the five people that have two Super Bowl MVPs. And you know, I just think his legacy and the things that he left out there on that football field, I mean, it has to be, you have to take that into account. And I just think he is a Hall of Famer in my book. I watch the guy work day in and day out. He put the work in to be a Hall of Famer, and he put the work in to be even in the conversation to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, to this day. So I think he absolutely deserves a first ballot.
Yeah, I think so as well. Look, there's a lot more variables that go into a team, and you look at some of the years that they struggled in New York. It's not all Eli's fault, right? There's other things in place there that make a team successful. So with the time he was there, he was very good, and he brought two Super Bowls to that organization. MVP two times, like, that's impressive. So his body of work speaks for itself.
I think sometimes as players, teammates, journalists, we're so close to him. We constantly talk about how great he is, and he's such a professional. And I think for fans, it's hard to understand what we're talking about because we're in it with him. We're in the locker room. You guys are out on the field. And there's just a significant difference when you put together a career the way he has and dealt with the good and the bad in New York with those cameras in his face and always be the same guy. After all these years, I think for me, he gets in based on the character, the man he is, and of course, the fact that he was able to bring New York to Super Bowl.
I tell you what, I like that he got that one last start, too. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
That makes sense.
It made sense.
Family.
And it was really
beautiful.
Nice to be able to walk
he
off that field.
That.
Yeah, and to be there with his family. Awesome. He deserved that. I still get, I get chills. And
100%.
So, congratulations, Eli Manning. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have made the climb to Super Bowl 54 after he was the best player in the NFL last season, the reigning MVP. Mahomes will become the fourth different starting quarterback to start the Super Bowl the year after winning the MVP in the last 40 seasons, joining Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Brett Favre. Our Jeff Darlington has more on the Chiefs from Kansas City.
Well, Wendy, if you're looking for an X factor in this game, look no further than the Chiefs' run defense. After what we saw the 49ers do on the ground, averaging 235 yards per game this postseason, record-setting, by the way, the Chiefs know they're going to have to be stout against the run. And that is why the news they got this week on defensive tackle Chris Jones is enormous. Andy Reid saying that Jones had no setbacks coming out of a game when, quite frankly, he was a game-time decision due to a calf strain. Now, he missed the divisional round. He was able to go in this game, played about 48% of the snaps, 28 defensive snaps for this team. Andy Reid said he really liked what he saw from Jones in this game. And now with 2 weeks between games, Feels like he's going to have enough recovery time to be healthy for this one. I cannot stress to you enough the importance of Jones inside. It could seriously determine whether the Chiefs will win this game against the 49ers, Wendy.
Jeff, thank you. One update from Kansas City. Travis Kelce did not practice today due to an illness, but of course, there is some time with the 2 weeks in between the championship and the Super Bowl. Most important part of the Chiefs' game plan, in your estimation, Rob?
Well, they have to score first. They got to play from ahead. They cannot get behind like they have in these previous two playoff games. If you're down 24-0, it's over. It's over. You're not going to be able to get back against the 49ers. They can run the ball really well. They can get after the quarterback. So in that case, you have to get the ball and score. And you got to try and score every time you have the ball. And on the flip side of that, the 49ers, you try and prevent them from having that football by running the football and having time of possession, winning the time of possession battle. So that script, the first 10 to 15 plays in this game for the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to be vital that they move the chains, have a long drive, and score first. That's going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like when the 49ers get a lead, especially in a game like this, they're going to bleed that clock. Mm-hmm. They're going to run that ball. They got the they got the stable of running backs to do it now. They've proven that. So the Kansas City Chiefs have to play with the lead. They can't get down 24-0 like they did before. They have to make sure that they come out of the gate firing, that those first 15 plays are aggressive, down the field, taking chances. I mean, it's a Super Bowl. You're not holding back for anything else. There's no more games after this. This is, you know, the big dance, so to speak. So you want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward and that you're coming out of the gate firing and putting some pressure on the 49ers and let them know that this is going to be a long game. We're going to be ready to go here, and you're going to have to match us drive for drive.
And the teams that had the bye week early in the playoffs here, they were rusty.
Yeah.
Kansas City was rusty.
We saw that.
So now they have 2 weeks to prepare. They cannot be rusty in this game. They have to go out there and execute.
And again, Patrick Mahomes following up an MVP season last year. I bet you he'd take this one with a chance.
100%.
100% a chance to win Super Bowl 54. The presumptive MVP, Lamar Jackson. Whoa, what a year for you. I know the season ended a little prematurely.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you, I honestly think it was every week we showed a Lamar Jackson play of the week. I mean, there were hundreds to choose from. Do you have a favorite play? Favorite instance?
Come on, just ask me. I really don't. I just go out there and just try to compete. You know, any given play, you know, I'm trying to make something happen. So if I take off the run, I'm trying to score.
Were you happy with the progress you made from year one to year two just as an individual player, as a quarterback?
Yes, I was. You know, could have been better. You know, I always want to be a better player, better passer within myself. But it could have been better, but I'm satisfied with the season.
Is that one of the things you're going to work on this offseason is passing?
Everything. Yeah. It's always room for improvement. No matter if it's running the ball, catching the ball, whatever. I'm trying to look for everything.
Now, we know how much Michael Vick has had an influence on your career. Obviously, you guys' games match each other so well. What is the one thing, have you spoken to Michael Vick, and what is the one thing he kind of, you know, told you about your game or told you how much he liked or something he wants you to change or fix?
Not really any of it. You know, he just told me that he liked my game. You know, we were talking yesterday. He was saying one thing, like he satisfied that I'm doing this training early, you know, rather than just waiting to training camp or something like that to get back into it. Just training early so you can be prepared.
Exactly.
So Lamar, as a defensive end, I know how hard it is to tackle quarterback. I probably couldn't even put a hand on you because of some of the juke moves that you put on. What's your mentality going into a game? Like, are you just no one can tackle me, no one can stop me? What do you prepare yourself? And how do you do that?
I just sit back and see what the defense giving me.
Yep.
You know, seeing how they approaching me, seeing what they doing, seeing the coverages, seeing how the defensive line moving, seeing how the linebackers move. Then I just flow with it. You know, first quarter, second quarter.
Yep.
Then once I got it, it's on.
So how much has Coach Harbaugh helped you progress from that first year to now this year having such a big year this season?
He really had to do nothing. You know, Coach really a defensive coach. I got Coach James Irvin. Yep. Constantly on me. You know, he always throwing on
so
the
net. He just says, hey, do your thing.
Yeah, he taught it out.
Get him right.
That's awesome.
That's your quarterback.
Lamar, I have to tell you, Mark Ingram's one of my favorite people. I've known him since college. It seems that way. And he talked a lot about big trust. I'm going to ask you, what's your definition of big trust?
Big trust is just in agreeing with you. Basically, you know, it's like, you know, you look good today. Trust. I appreciate that.
Oh, you know, all right. Yeah. Okay.
Stuff like that. That's all.
So can we use it? Can we borrow it?
Y'all can use it.
I'm using that all day.
Okay.
Trust.
Lamar, you obviously was such a tremendous season for you individually. You set a single season rushing record as a quarterback, but you also threw for a whole lot of touchdowns. Are you prouder of one than the other?
I'm prouder than the throwing touchdowns. I think I got the all-time Ravens leading passing touchdowns in the season. I was happy.
Not bad for a running back, right?
Now, I want to talk receiver a little bit. Obviously, you and Hollywood Brown have such an amazing connection on the field. Talk to me a little bit about his maturation process throughout the season, how you guys just connect.
Man, listen, Hollywood, he got that brow to him. Like, he, even though, you know, he was hurt the whole year, like his foot, you know, he came off the injury from college. Even though he was hurt, he still, like, you know, I'm supposed to be, like, Julio already. I'm supposed to be already making stuff happen. I'm like, bro, you good, you know. Like, your foot not all the way 100, but you still making plays, and you a rookie, bro. Yeah. Like, you good, but next year, well, this year, he's going to be dangerous. It's he was dangerous last year, but it's going to be even worse this year.
We were lucky enough to have Drew Brees on yesterday. He talked about, you know, his tremendous career, right, 13 Pro Bowls. But his kids came along, and I know Baylen was still – he still had stars in his eyes after meeting you. What was that like to meet Brees? And I'm sure you've watched him
all the
time.
How Baylen was towards me, that's how it was to Drew. I was choking over my words, talking to him. I'm like, I didn't even know what to say. Like, hey, that's a great guy, you know, cool, down-to-earth guy. And it was great meeting him.
What's it like to be here and play alongside a guy like that, or be part of the same program, a guy you grew up watching play?
I wasn't even thinking about stuff like that, especially not playing with Drew on the opposing team. I was hoping he'd be out of the league or something already, you know. His Super Bowl's already, you know, he already Hall of Fame bound. But, you know, it's great. I'm having fun. Got to see Russell Wilson, you know, again. I'm out here with Deshaun and stuff like that. I'm having a great time.
So we know the 1-2 punch of you and Mark Ingram. Talk a little bit about how important Mark is to your team in the offensive side.
Very important. You know, just his energy in the locker room, his energy as a person. You know, he makes you want to be a great person, makes you want to be a better player. And that's what we like, what we need around us.
Who are you looking forward to throwing the ball to in this Pro Bowl coming up?
I know
you got
a lot of receivers,
a lot of guys.
Will you be at the Super Bowl? Obviously, you come from
I'm going to be around. You know, I got my stuff to do, but I'm not going to be watching. Like, I'm not in it.
Okay.
My team not in it.
Fair enough. Until next year.
Right.
I like that.
Lamar, we appreciate the time, and once again, what a tremendous year. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
About a lot of different aspects of Eli's career, I think, over the next few days, rightly so. But, you know, since they talk about it, how tough was he?
He was, I mean, if that video wasn't indicative of how tough he is, and that 49er game in the NFC Championship, I mean, it was just, every time I look back, it was picking himself up off the dirt and picking himself, and he didn't point at any, he didn't get angry, he wasn't upset at any given time. Which, he's a better man than me. I would have got up like, what's going on, guys?
Let's get this
together. Get me off this ground. You know what I mean? But he just got up and just kept getting after it and getting after it and making throw after throw after throw. And no throw bigger than the one to Manningham in that, you know, coming across the middle there for the touchdown. And we just knew. I think everyone had this understanding from Eli all the way through to the receivers on the outside that no matter how many times he went down, we were going to rally around him and make the play. We knew he was going to make a play when we needed it. And every single time we needed to make a play, he made it. I think that was indicative of how tough he is. And I think that literally describes him and his entire personality around the building, to his teammates. That toughness that he displayed, and obviously that consecutive starts, he was just accountable. You could just count on him every single week.
It's funny, he was tough. That does not mean he was serious all the time. and Rob, we were hearing some of these stories earlier, which was a lot of fun. I mean, he's the epic prankster.
Yeah, he got me. He got me. Okay, if there was the one time I think he changed my entire phone to Mandarin, the language, and I'm looking at my phone like, how am I supposed to even get to the settings to change this back? I mean, he did this field turf prank. Field turf has kind of these black pellets that are all over the ground, and he would come up to people and go, hey, I got my really bad toothache. Can I see your tooth to see if it's the same as mine? And everybody's like, what? And he just dumped all the
terrible,
tooth, like right in your mouth. And he's like, he caught me with that one too. I was just like, what are we doing here? And because it's Eli, you're just receptive. You just, the fact that he's even talking to you about anything, you're just like, oh, this is amazing. What? Your cavity? I want to see your cavity. Like, what are you talking about? It was too good. Too good.
That's really funny. And we also touched on this, and you know, I mean, Boston is one thing. It's not the easiest place to play in the world. But, I mean, New York, and they are the New York Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, the spotlight and the scrutiny is constant.
Yeah, definitely. And Bill Belichick would always say, reliability is more important than ability. And if you can always be there week in and week out and have people count on you, that is the ultimate teammate, because you always want to put your team in the best position. And when you know and the coaches know that you're going to be there, I think that trumps any ability that you can have. And you can't coach toughness, and you can't coach the ability to be able to fight through some of those aches and pains. And you've seen it. You know, some guys, I can't go. I can't go. But, you know, he was fighting through stuff his whole career, and, you know, it was a tremendous one at that. I'm happy I didn't get a mouthful of rubber pellets, though.
Right?
That's
for sure.
I guess I'm the only one here with rubber pellets.
Are you glad to see him go out this way at this time?
I am, and I'm happy that, like, obviously this season he got his moment against the Miami Dolphins, got the win, and got his kind of his send-off. I think, you know, if you're a player, you want to kind of have that moment where you have that send-off, similar to, like, Dwayne Wade and his tour. Like, you want to just have this moment that you'll remember forever, that you can just anchor down to and look at photos and videos and look back at that moment forever and say, I got sent off the right way.
A lot of guys don't have that.
A lot of guys don't,
no,
they don't
I'm
have
glad
that.
I'm glad he did. Yeah. You know, I think exactly. He's earned that. And it was really nice. I mean, you don't want to see anyone get hurt, but kind of the way it played out, the timing worked out well.
Perfect.
We will have, of course, live coverage of Eli Manning's retirement press conference. The Giants quarterback will reflect his own thoughts on his 16-year career. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. on ESPN2. Here are your nominees for Coach of the Year. We start with Brian Flores. Finished his first season with the Dolphins on a strong note, 5-4 in the last 9 games after starting the season 0-7. John Harbaugh led the Ravens to their best regular season in franchise history, winning 14 games and finishing with the best record in the NFL, along with the presumptive MVP, Lamar Jackson. The Bills won at least 10 games in a season for the first time in 20 years under Sean McDermott. Buffalo has reached the playoffs in 2 of his first 3 years as head coach. Kyle Shanahan led the 49ers to one of the best single-season turnarounds in NFL history, 13-3, and reaching the Super Bowl after winning just 4 games last season. And Mike Tomlin's Steelers went 8-8 despite starting 3 different quarterbacks this season. He still hasn't had a losing season in his 13 years as the Steelers head coach. And wow, what an impressive job he did with the 18th string quarterback or whatever it was.
Exactly.
Just a great year. All right. They've earned the right to vote here because it is. Okay, so
I see a lot of Tomlin.
I see a lot of Tomlin. I see some McDermott.
I see a lot of McDermott. Look, a couple Harbaughs.
I think it's a Tomlin McDermott tie. Yep. Is that? That's all right. That's what we'll call it. Victor Cruz.
Start with me.
Yeah, I'll start with you.
Oh, well, I want to start by saying all those coaches are deserving, right? Yeah. I mean, they've just dealt with the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of a season. Mike Tomlin specifically, doing what he did with that team is unbelievable. But Harbaugh here. I mean, they won 14 games, and I think there's something to be said about him trusting Lamar Jackson.
Big trust.
Big trust. Now we're back to that. Developing that offense around Lamar and putting him in positions to win and putting a team around him to be successful, I just think it's applauded. It needs to be applauded. And the things he did this year, what he accomplished, was pretty, pretty amazing with Lamar Jackson, who came out and you didn't think he'd be a quarterback and all of that stuff, but he did it, and he did it at a high level.
So, all right.
I'm up now.
Yeah, go ahead. No, time like the
can
lady
I just,
present.
I mean, these are, should I just make the eyes?
Yeah.
I love
it.
I'm going with Tomlin. I'm going with Tomlin right here. Look, they started out 1-4.
They
could have been a 2-4 win team in this whole season. You lose your quarterback. You lose your running back for a lot of the season, Connor being hurt a bunch this year, losing receivers. You had to deal with that Rudolph Garrett issue during the season. I think Tomlin did a tremendous job managing that situation. So when you look at everything that happened this year for them to finish 500, 8-8,
and even be in contention for the
playoffs. They were in contention.
Till the very last minute, with
backup quarterbacks and a lot of different moving pieces, bringing guys up from the practice squad. That is impressive when you can still manage to have playoff contention. You're still on the hunt with all those different things going on. That's why I'm picking Tomlin. I think that he did a tremendous job this year. when things aren't perfect and your roster isn't just loaded dealing with injuries, he did a great job motivating that team, bringing them together and keeping them a team as opposed to them just falling apart this year.
Exactly. No question. Ryan Clark made the point. He thought you could argue it may have been Tomlin's best coaching job yet, despite the record. And I think it's at the very least, it's an argument
absolutely
to be made. So the NFL honors will be the night before the Super Bowl, Saturday in Miami, and all of the awards will be officially handed out.
Hosted by Steve Harvey.
Okay, you're going to be there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Victor Cruz will be there. So if you're stopping
by, he's everywhere.
He really is. But Russell Wilson joins us this afternoon here for the Pro Bowl in Orlando. And Russell, I feel like we talk about this every year because you've had such a tremendous career. Your first 8 seasons, really historic. The most wins by any quarterback, tied with Tom Brady in his first 8 seasons. Do you have a minute to look back or appreciate sort of where you are and where you've been?
I think you do a little bit. You know, you know that you're doing something right, but you got to keep getting better. And I think that's the thing that I look forward to is the next day, the next morning. I wake up trying to be the best in the world. That's just kind of on my mind every day. I'm trying to help our team win. So I think that's always been the case for me.
Well, you have Pete Carroll here with you for the first time, right?
Yeah.
First time.
Yeah, it's cool. You know,
he's
one of the best coaches in the game, hands down.
Yeah.
But he brings so much energy. You know, yeah. He's perfect for this, circumstance because he brings so much fun. He's light about it. But he's also competitive. So it's a good time.
That's funny.
Now, Wendy alluded to obviously your illustrious career thus far. What are you still working on in the offseason to get better?
Well, I think it's actually the young guys, helping lead the young guys as much as I can, spending a lot of time. You know, DK Metcalf and I spent a lot of time this offseason together, out in LA, out in San Diego, just working. A lot of the other guys too, we spent a lot of time together. And I think that's that bonding moments, those times together, but also the work.
Yeah.
And teaching the guys that, the reality is I came as a third round, draft pick, 75th pick overall. People didn't think I was going to have a chance. And so I've kind of been in their spot too. I've kind of been on both worlds. And I think that the reality is that there's no substitute for hard work. And nothing happens by accident. You have to put the work in. And so to be able to spend a lot of time with those guys and talk about that and show that every day is a critical part.
Let's talk about those receivers a little bit. DK Metcalf and obviously Lockett, two completely different types of receivers, right? Talk to me about the dynamic in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, their work ethic. Talk to me about how those guys are.
Well, you think they'd be brothers, in terms of how close they are. But, the size difference, obviously, of DK and his ability to go up and down the field and how big he is. Tyler's so freaking quick.
Yeah.
The guy can get open anytime, any moment. And, he just does a great job, And he's always in the right spot at the right time. So he's spectacular. You saw the toe tap catches he's made all year.
I don't even know how you threw that one.
When he was rolling this way, he threw it perfect.
A lot of the things that he does, he makes it easy on me.
He makes it look, DK, have you had to adjust your workout routine? The
funny thing is that when I'm throwing a DK, I have to look like up here, and I'm throwing a tie, I'm like down here.
That ball trajectory is a lot different. Now, they've had some cool celebrations. I mean, obviously, a little salsa never hurt anybody either. But do you get in on the celebrations? Do you have any say, any input? Because they're pretty creative.
Sarah does all the dancing in the house. Sarah's doing all the dancing. I'm hanging out. But you're the king of celebrations. So
this year, you guys had a little injury bug in the running back position. You bring back Marshawn Lynch for the end of the year. What was that like?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Beast mode.
To bring a legend back, I think, too, his attitude to coming back was so perfect for us. And just what he brought to the table. He scored 4 touchdowns, in the playoff games and everything else. And he was just great. You know, honestly, just to work with him again was a blessing. You know, I remember coming into my rookie year and just spending a lot of time with him, in terms of, on the field, just us talking, and just that mixture of us talking in the midst of the game, while we're playing. You mentioned my rookie year.
Yeah.
We're playing the Patriots, and how he's talking to me, throughout the game. And so a lot of those quality moments that showed up too in the playoffs, and he's a winner, guy who knows how to score.
Yeah, well, it was hard to tackle both of you guys. I missed them both a lot.
Obviously, it's a Pro Bowl, so there's some great receivers. Anybody you're particularly interested in throwing to this week?
Well, all of them.
That's what Lamar said. Every single one of them.
Devontae, he killed us in the playoff game, but he's special. Obviously Michael Thomas, the year he had, historic year. I mean, the best in the business at what he did this year. And there's so many other guys too as well. So those two guys that stand out. Obviously, Amari Cooper, he's a special player too as well. So it's fun, you know, to have so many weapons, you know, at your disposal is a cool thing.
Well, I got to talk to you a little bit about Eli Manning. Obviously, just announced his retirement. Do you have any stories with Eli also? And just tell me what he meant to you in your career and the things that he's accomplished.
Well, my rookie year, I actually came to the Pro Bowl. And it was a blessing because it was actually Hawaii. That's the first thing. That was another blessing. But one of the cool things about it was, you know, on my team I had Drew Brees, Eli Manning, and myself, and the other team. I remember Peyton Manning was there, and I think Ben Roethlisberger as well. And I remember sitting down with Peyton, talking to him. I remember, you know, spending time with Eli and spending time with Drew, and that helped change, you know, my trajectory, my career. I believe that's why I think the Pro Bowl is so important. It's because if you take advantage of the moments, you can learn a lot of things. And if you're on that constant quest for knowledge. So I remember talking to Eli just about different things and how he was processing things and how the process elimination, how he understood the game so well. And he did it with so much class. You're talking about a true professional. I think one of the things that goes underestimated about Eli, though, is his ability to play game in and game out. You don't understand how hard that is to the normal person. Yeah. You know, they don't understand how hard that is to play game in and game out year after year after year for 16 years. I mean, it's a special thing. So, you know, I
know somebody else like that. Yeah, you have missed a start.
Like I said, those guys I admire. I'm going to try to keep going.
Well, are you confident, Russell, that the pieces are in place on this team
I think we need a couple more. I think Jadeveon's a big time guy that we would love to get back on our football team. He was so good in the locker room. He brought so many, you know, just havoc plays to the field. Hopefully we can get a few other players there on defense, and then also on offense. We have a great offense, but I think we can always add more pieces, and I think that's going to be the part that's going to be great with John Schneider and Pete as well in terms of this offseason's free agency. Free agency is very, very key to get superstars on your team and try to get great players that can fill the space, and then the draft. We always do a great job in the draft, and that's going to be really important to get some young stars up and coming.
I like it. Like a true quarterback. We can use some more.
Always.
Well, it was tremendous watching you
appreciate
this year, Russell.
Thank
congratulations.
Yeah, it's an honor. Appreciate you guys.
Brady played against Eli Manning twice in the Super Bowl, and Eli Manning is a two-time Super Bowl MVP. That is all said and done. He's hanging up the cleats after a 16-year career, all of which came with the New York Giants. Here's reaction from around the league.
Eli's a great, fierce competitor, man. And to be able to play at a high level for 16 seasons, I mean, it's really tough. You know, it's really tough. He's a Super Bowl champion. I remember playing him my rookie year. He almost got me benched because he was lighting us up, you know, and taking advantage of my rookie youth.
He's very just consistent and steady throughout his whole career, and obviously I have a ton of respect for him.
Man, he's got so much to be proud of, and two Super Bowl championships, you know, with two clutch drives at the end of the game, you know, to win those. So he deserves, I think, a ton of credit, you know, for their success during that time, and also just a ton of respect from all of us for the career he was able to have.
I mean, he's got to be in the top 10 in most every meaningful statistic when it comes to quarterback play. So, you know, I got to play against him a lot in the NFC East and really observed him. When I came in as a rookie, he had just won a Super Bowl. And so I enjoyed, even when I was just a backup watching, just observing how he went about his business, because I said, okay, that's the goal. That's where you want to get to.
Yeah, you can't write the NFL story without Eli Manning.
Well, Tom Brady played against him twice in the Super Bowl, and at 42 years old, he will be a free agent for the first time in his career this offseason when the new league year opens in March. But Patriots owner Robert Kraft would prefer Tom Brady not play anywhere else.
Tom can stay in New England. Are we going to keep Tom in New England, Bob?
You know, that's a coach's decision. You know, that's his decision. He earned that right to do what he wanted to do, so.
Do you think the New England Patriots will be able to figure this out if Tom doesn't return?
I don't know. That's a Bill question. You got to ask Bill that. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure everything will work out. I feel like everything works out in the best interest for everybody at the end of the day. So I'm just looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Brady's last game as a Patriot could have been against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans. He is also a free agent. Tannehill led Tennessee to the AFC Championship and had the third highest completion percentage in the league this season. He talked about his season here in Orlando.
It still hurts. It still hurts, honestly. Obviously, this is exciting, and it kind of takes my mind off of it a little bit. But
it hurts. You know, you think back of how much we accomplished and how close we were, you know, one game away from competing for a Super Bowl title. So when you're that close, I think it hurts that much more. Obviously, every loss hurts as a competitor, but the deeper you go, I think the bigger the games get, obviously, and then the deeper the hurt once you're out. I didn't know what was going to happen when I got to Tennessee. Obviously, knew I was going in as a backup. Wanted to play, wanted to compete, and you know, finally got the nod, and then here we are at the Pro Bowl, you know, a couple months later. So it was a wild ride.
Tannehill, part of a loaded group of quarterback free agents this offseason. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Philip Rivers all need new contracts. They're in the top six in NFL history in touchdown passes and passing yards. And Dak Prescott, by the way, Jameis Winston, also joined the club's free agents in March, if it should get that far with Dak Prescott. Did you talk to Tannehill about his future, Diana? He certainly earned a new deal.
Yeah, he certainly impressed the Tennessee Titans, being able to take over and take them all the way to the AFC Championship game. And, you know, he says he wants to return, but of course he wants to do good business. And the sense I get from talking to Tennessee is that they want to do good business with Ryan as well, whether that means a new contract or an actual franchise tag, which it seems to me they're leaning more towards tagging Ryan Tannehill to keep him there in Tennessee. And he's certainly earned it, but still a pretty small sample size. Meantime, Drew Brees, I had a really long conversation with him today. And, you know, he is very difficult to nail down with what he wants to do. I asked him, are you going to retire? He's like, at this point right now, I have to just keep all the options on the table. I'm going to spend the next 3 to 4 weeks with my family, and we're going to look at it and decide together what the best next step is going to be. Do I think he winds up in New Orleans? I can tell you the Saints, they want him back there. There is no question. Sean Payton thinks that they can work it out. They'll get to a number that will make Drew happy. It's just going to come down to where Drew wants to play.
It's incredible, really, when you look at the names of free agents, like veteran quarterbacks who are on the list. Who's the most intriguing one on that list for you? Need I ask?
I mean, I'm going to have to go with Tom
because everyone wants
to know, where is Tom going? And when you look around the league, there's guys that have played for the Patriots and they go somewhere else, and they're paid, right? Because other teams want the Patriot way. They want success like the Patriots have had. So now Tom Brady is available for another team to make an offer to. And there are definitely teams, maybe potentially one where you were just there covering with Vrabel, having a relationship there
here
with Tom.
Go.
They got a great offensive line. They got a running game. What do you need as a 42-year, 43-year-old quarterback? You need protection. You need a running game. He has to, if he's going to go anywhere, he's got to go somewhere where there's an offensive line in place with a running game. And when
see him leaving New England. Everything is set up there for him to succeed.
At the end of the
day, that way for so long, I just don't see him leaving.
It's going to come down to a contract offer, a respect factor. You know, if they want to keep Tom and Tom wants to stay with New England, there's going to have to be some give and take here. It's not going to, and another team's going to offer him a contract now. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, that I think what you have to underscore here is that the Patriot way is incredibly successful. It is also incredibly taxing. You can speak to that
better than me. It's very hard to do over the long time. It's hard to be very successful for 20 years.
Especially, you know, Bill Belichick is great for a lot of reasons. He's a taskmaster, and I think you have to ask yourself, if you're Tom Brady, if you want to sign up for that again, when you could go somewhere and do it and maybe get a little more credit and a little more money.
And they've built a culture around being serious about the game. When you're in that building, it's all about the game, and it's all about what you bring to the table to make this team better and nothing else. And sometimes that can be taxing.
It's not Vic. It's not Rob. Yeah. It's the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not an individual.
You're just
person.
The cog in the wheel.
That's
all you are. And I think that over a period of time, no matter how much success you have, that can be taxing. And you just kind of want to be free to do and feel and do what you want to do sometimes. And maybe that's what Tom Brady's feeling, which he might entertain that. But I think the overall success that he's built in New England will keep him there.
But what's the one thing we know about anyone that's had success in New England? That they face the reality, they know what the reality is, but they always are appreciative of it because they don't know any other way. They don't want any other way. Teddy Bruschi, our colleague, is the king of it, of explaining why they do things the way they do. Yeah, they may not have fun, but you know what's fun? Winning.
Yep.
And that's what they like.
I enjoyed winning. I enjoyed having
you.
There are times when things aren't so fun. Yes, I understand. Practice is not fun.
Being yelled at isn't fun, but guess what? When you have hardware for the rest of your life and you can pass
where
it on to your kids,
you don't have it on.
You know, it's...
I'd be rocking it. Fingers get swollen.
March 18th, the new league year officially opens. It will be fascinating to watch a bunch of names. Philip Rivers, another one on that list. That will be really interesting. Jarvis Landry, his fourth Pro Bowl in the last five seasons, a tremendous individual accomplishment, but a tough season for the Cleveland Browns. The expectations were high. Instead, a disappointing 6-10 finish. They now have lots of questions going forward, as well as a new head coach. Jarvis Landry catches up with our Diana Rossini.
All right, so we're here with Jarvis Landry. Jarvis, obviously, the season didn't go how you planned. We talked in the preseason. There was so much excitement and enthusiasm and expectation from your team. So now that it's been wrapped up, you've had some weeks now to kind of reflect on it. How do you look back at what this Cleveland Browns team didn't accomplish?
You know, it's tough. It's disappointing. Obviously, you know, for us, having expectations, having goals that we set that we didn't meet. But knowing that, you know, there's things to build off and things to grow off, you know, and hopefully we can put it together this offseason and you know, look forward to a good season next year.
You obviously have a brand new head coach. You guys have dealt with lots of turnover, it seems, every year, right? So here, have you had a chance to talk to your coach? And so far, what's sort of been his message?
Yeah, I spoke to Kevin twice. And, you know, the thing that he just, you know, keeps talking about is just we're going to work. You know, he hasn't given me no precise plan or how are we going to be as an offense. Anything he just says, let's just work. So I can stand by that.
It's no secret. One of your best friends in the world is Odell Beckham, and there's always questions on what is he going to do next. So is he going to be a Cleveland Brown? Does he want to be a Cleveland Brown? I know you don't want to speak for him, but being so close to him, what is his perspective on this Browns team?
Yeah, I know he wants to be a champion. You know, he wants to be a champion. He wants to compete at a high level. He wants to be a leader. He wants to be a team player. You know, all of the qualities that you want on a team, you know, and we have that right now with the Cleveland Browns. And you know, I know he's happy. You know, he just wants to get healthy and put a season together that he knows he's capable of.
He did just have surgery. Have you been able to speak to him to see how he's feeling?
Yeah, just encouraging him, letting him know I'm praying for him. Wish I could be there. Obviously, I'm here, but I know I wish I could be there. And, you know, having my whole family send him videos and praying for him and things like that.
Jarvis, just for Cleveland Browns fans who want to believe once again in you guys and have that hope, what do you think you guys will be like this offseason compared to maybe what you guys were like last year going into it?
You know, right now it's hard to tell, and, you know, I don't really know. You know, I don't want to go in with any expectations. I just want to, you know, like Coach Kevin said, just go in and go work.
Thanks so much, Jarvis. Guys, back to you.
Well, guys, if you were a player in that locker room, when you do get back together, what would you want your message to be?
Talk is cheap. We got to produce. You got to come together in the offseason and say, let's forget about the past where you have no expectations here. We're not going to talk about the division or winning the division or how stacked we are as a team. They've earned nothing right now. So you have to go into the offseason and you just got to start all over again and try to manage all the expectations that come into having a lot of talent, because there's a lot of talent on every single team. But how do you manage the personalities in the locker room to where you can all come together and have a common goal? And that right now is when they get back into that building, is to just get to work and work hard to where they can create a team. You have to build a foundation that gets you through a full season and into where you want to go. But don't talk about it. Just go out there and perform, and you have to win football games.
Yeah, and I think that foundation that you speak of, Rob, it starts with Baker Mayfield. I think Coach Stefanski has to sit him down and say, hey, look, we're going to be here to work. It's going to be about football. It's going to be about this team. Don't worry about what guys are saying outside of this locker room. If it ain't in this locker room, don't even worry about it. What I would tell them to do, or what I would, you know, if I was telling them to do something, I'd be like, write all those quotes down. When people say things, when you have those negative comments, just write them down or tweet or you know, crop them out, print them out, put them in your locker. Those should be motivation. And every time you get a camera or a microphone in your face, you literally just say, we're about the team. Either we won and it's a great win, or we lost and we need to get better and focus on getting better. And that's what should be the focus for Baker Mayfield specifically, because that leadership quality starts with the quarterback and trickles down to the rest of the team. And if the quarterback has a solid foundation and a solid understanding with his coach, then everything else can trickle down from there.
Well, again, another version of talk is cheap, right?
Yep,
like,
exactly.
Let's lead by example and show us what you got. Eventually, the tide will turn in Cleveland. It has to. We've been waiting for quite some time. The 70th annual Pro Bowl, Sunday, January 26th, 3 o'clock Eastern. That's coming right up.
whoever wins, it's not us in it, so I don't really care who gonna win it.
Man, I just like to bring positive energy to anybody I'm around.
Give me the team that you think is gonna win, and you gotta make a case why.
31-28.
Boys, we're gonna watch Zion tonight.
I'd be scared if I'm playing against myself.
I think Kansas City will win it.
And he actually living in the actual speed.
I'd be kind of nervous, but he can do it all.
I can't be like this unless I'm around good people and genuine people.
49 is Nick Bosa.
Tierra's doing all the dancing. I'm hanging out. But okay. You're the king of celebrations.
Can you actually cook?
I can cook.
It was a wild ride.
He's a pro bowler. I don't know who.
Okay. A week later, Super Bowl 54, the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo on getting ready.
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says that you got to treat it like another game, but just the way that he actually did it, I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just getting all the, picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything, and obviously it worked out the two times that I was there with him, and so try to transfer that over to my game.
Eli Manning won two Super Bowls in his career. He's one of five players in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowl MVPs. The others, pretty good names out there. Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, and the great Bart Starr. The last three in that group, all Pro Football Hall of Famers. Brady will certainly be a first ballot Hall of Famer when the time comes. I feel odd. First time in a long time we haven't had Peyton or Eli. I mean, and we have these young quarterbacks.
Exactly. Oh, a lot of teams are going to look different.
A lot of teams are going to look different. Listen, we're going to look different next time because we're going to be dry.
Yes.
So there's that. But we are looking forward to the skills competition tonight, the Pro Bowl on Sunday. And then don't forget, fellas, this is Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, the big shebang.
We will salsa our way all the way to Miami, everybody, and look forward to seeing you there. Have a great day. Bye.